Welcome back, guys. DJS on KMOX 305. Talked about this at the top of the show. I was kind of catch you guys up since so much of the show is about my life. My mom took a fall just about a week ago and had to go to Alt Memorial. Was there for a couple, 3 days, and they didn't send her to a rehab. We picked one over on this side of the river, and she was at the rehab for about 3 hours, and they weren't watching her, and she fell, and she broke her hip really badly. Dr. Waddle, who did the surgery at MOBAP, which is the finest hospital for my money in town, said it was much worse than he thought it was, and had to put a rod in from her hip down her femur. And so she is at MOBAP as we speak. And so been doing a lot of 3 in the mornings and going in early. I'll be going after the show. Whatever you guys believe in, thoughts, prayers, anything, we'll take them because she's not in great shape and suffering. And so anyone out there who's friends with my mom or family and I've not reached out to you, I apologize, but it's been a pretty full schedule since last Wednesday. So that's kind of what's going on. So hopefully she's going to get better and go to a different rehab and have as nice of a life as she can with rods in her neck and rods in her hip. And hopefully that's all the rods she'll get.
Yeah.
Stairway to Kevin.
All right. So we were talking about this during the top of the hour for a second because I knew I was going to be bringing this up. But Ranji mentioned the story about Ipe Mitsuhara, which is, he's the translator for Shohei Ohtani. And how, you know, was it maybe a month ago we were talking about the big scandal that was brewing, that this money was paid from Shohei Ohtani's bank account to an illegal bookmaker in California, and there's an investigation going on. Initially, the story was Shohei lent him the money to cover the debts, but that was the story told by the translator, told by
Ipe. In front of the team, right?
Yeah, to the team, to the team's front office. And by the way, in front of Ohtani. Like, he was in the room and around all of this as it was going on. So he was doing some of these things in Ohtani's presence. And now the new story is he's being charged federal crimes. He's facing 30 years in prison for stealing up to $16 million from Shohei Ohtani. And apparently, as you look through the charges, he was with Ohtani setting up the bank account, so he was able to, he had to fill out all the paperwork for him because he was translating for him. So everything that Ohtani was doing with the bank was with the translator there doing it with him. And apparently he changed some of the settings so that Ohtani wouldn't get notifications if money was sent out from the bank account, whatever. So all of this is in there, and that brings me to the bigger thing is people still are all over the place spreading conspiracy theories. Oh, they found their fall guy. Major League Baseball was never going to let this be Ohtani. They found their fall guy. And I can't get past that we are in a place, and it's not everybody, it's not a ton of people, but it's enough people to make a good bit of noise. They believe that federal prosecutors are essentially covering for Major League Baseball to spare them a scandal by inventing charges against this guy. Because there's all kinds of evidence presented in these charges. And they have texts between Mitsuhara and the bookie. They have testimony from Mitsuhara, and it sounds like he's probably going to cooperate and plead guilty because he's caught. How are we in a place where even when something like this is laid out by federal prosecutors, I know how, by the way, we'll talk about that as a part of this, but is it stunning to you guys that we're in a place where even in sports, nothing is what it seems. Everything's got the wizard behind the screen.
I thought about this the other day. If you say a true thing, and it can be a fairly obvious true thing, people will doubt you, and people will have to really, really look at that and research it before they believe you. You say something crazy, something conspiratorial, and people just take it.
They're like, you know, that makes sense.
That makes sense. They take it.
How is it just as simple as wide access to information means all information, and then the bad stuff, the conspiracies, are just more fun than the truth? They're just more entertaining than the truth.
I think it's that. I think that we have evolved, and by evolved, I mean in the last maybe 30 years, we've evolved into life is supposed to be fun and interesting at all times. Used to be, when I was a younger man, that life was life, and work was work, and family was family, and then you got to have some fun. You know, you have a romance, you have a barbecue, you go to a ball game. Now, every minute of every day, if it's not fun, it at least should be interesting. And I think that we have lost our interest in anything that's not fun. And a lot of times, facts are not fun. It's not as much fun that Shohei Ohtani hired a guy who took advantage of him. It's way more fun if Shohei Ohtani has a horrible gambling problem and this guy's the fall guy. But the problem is, one's the truth and one's fun, and we choose fun over the truth way too much. I
don't know that you could pick up a start time for it, but like, there have been conspiracies, and we know this, right? Historically speaking, we know there was a conspiracy to cover up the Watergate crime, for example, right? We know that that happened.
They exist.
Yes, they do exist, but they're not everywhere. And it's not all the time, and it's not bleeding into
and
every single thing.
They almost always get caught.
Yeah.
Under these conspiracies, like, you can't catch Joe Biden. That mofo threw an entire election. That guy threw an election for the biggest, baddest country in the world, but you can't catch him. You can catch people who are conspiring. They almost always get caught, like Watergate.
Yeah, a lot of times it's after the fact. Sometimes it's right after the fact, like Watergate. Sometimes it's years later.
But these days, people, it's like we're all superheroes. Like we're all Megamind or something, you know? Yeah. Putting together these conspiracies where people never get caught.
Yeah, and we blend conspiracy with things that you know. Like, for example, we know that major corporate interests spend a lot of lobbying money to get their way. That's not a conspiracy theory. You know it's happening. It's documented. We know they're spending the money and it's going to politicians and then politicians do things that they like. That's not a conspiracy theory. A conspiracy theory is, well, they're doing all this and hiding this particular thing because that would make people better and they don't want to make people better. They want people to be sick because they make more money that way. Well, now you've got to start establishing like evidence for those claims and all of that. And here, when you're looking at this charging document, there's all kinds of evidence. They've got it all down. Where he was, who he was with, what he was saying. And even then it's like, oh, why would the federal government do Major League Baseball a solid? Why would they do that? And then why would Mitsuhara be like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll take the fall. Like he's probably going to go to prison. He's not just going to get a fine. Crazy.
I think we love conspiracy theories. And then I also think we're just so petty that at this point, I think if you're still clinging to that, you just have some sort of hate for Shohei that you can't let go of. Is it because he's the greatest baseball player? I mean, I don't know. But like, there's a part of it where it's just like, I want to see that guy fail. Even if you show me evidence that he didn't fail, I still want to see him fail so bad. I mean, think of Tom Brady and how much people hate on Tom Brady. Shohei is like the Tom Brady of baseball.
Chip Gaines.
Yeah, it's the Chip, the Dave, you know what I mean? People love to hate whenever you're on top. But it's just so, it's also just this level of petty and pathetic at a certain point, too.
And do you think we grow out of it?
That's what I was going to ask.
We return to adulthood at some point?
I hope so. Because
we're not being a good example for our kids.
No, and maybe they're the ones that figure it out. Like, man, our parents are crazy. You know, that kind of thing.
I hope so.
I do, too, because... And the problem is that it's not just one small group of people that does this, and it's never, quote unquote, your person that's doing it.
Right.
It's always the other, right? I'm a Giants fan. The Giants aren't doing that. The Dodgers are doing that, right? It's not my presidential candidate. It's that other one. And everybody's playing that game where their person's protected. Like for their senator, right? We see this all the time. The approval ratings for Congress are terrible. But everybody votes for the person that's in their district. What is it? Only your person that's okay?
I'm interested in the, you know, like a Venn diagram. I'm interested in where spin from CNN and Fox and MSNBC meets conspiracy.
Mm.
Because I'm more of a CNN in general go-to guy, but I watch Fox every day. I watch MSNBC every day. I read Drudge. I read everything. That sounded so Trumpian. I read everything.
A lot of people are saying I read everything.
You write it down. I'm going to read it.
Big articles.
Write it. I read it.
All the words.
But anyway, CNN, which I watch the most, of course they're biased. Oh, my God. Of course they are. Mm-hmm. But it interests me where their bias and their spin becomes conspiratorial. Same with Fox. Because there's a spot in there. There's a soft, gooey spot in the middle where those two mix.
Yeah. Because it's sexy. It goes back to that first thing, because I was ranting in the office, and Andrew was laughing at me because I was ranting about how stupid it is that the number one story on every website right now is OJ.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter, but it's going to get clicks.
Yes.
And that's that. And conspiracies get clicks.
Yes.
Crazy ideas get people's attention.
Well, OJ was found not guilty of his crime.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know many people who don't think that he did it, right? You don't have to check your brain. You have to follow the law.
Right.
And
he
got due process.
Yep.
And the jury said that he was not guilty. And that's what we all have to live with.
Correct.
And we all have.
Yep.
No one went out and grabbed him and, you know, tried to do something to him. But in my book, sort of like a school shooter, it would have been more appropriate, especially to the deceased, had they just said, O.J. Simpson died, known for his football career and the double murder trial, and now on to sports and weather. But we don't do that. The same way that it would be better when there's a school shooter to not say their name and go back over everything in their life. That would be better, but we can't do better. We can't lay off the sauce.
I mean, again, it goes back to what you said, Dave. You put it well. Everything has to be entertaining or fun
all the time. Mm-hmm.
And that now that includes the news. And if you wonder why the rest of the world is going these crazy routes, it's because people that are supposed to be legitimate have to sex everything up. Everything's got to be a big deal. If it bleeds, it leads. It's not about the importance of the story. It's about the amount of eyeballs it'll catch.
I am hypocritical a lot, but not usually instantly. But coming up next, Chet Pleban's going to talk about O.J. Simpson. So there you go. /323-DGS. Haven't talked to our pal Chet Pleban in a while. He joined us now. Hello, Chet.
Hey, Dave. Hey, sorry to hear about your mom.
Thank you, man.
Hope she gets better quickly.
Appreciate that. So I know that you have a special connection to the O.J. Simpson trial because Barry Scheck, who anyone my age who watched the trial knows, was the kind of genius DNA guy. And it's so crazy, isn't it, that it hasn't been that long ago, but back then no one knew what DNA was, at least apropos of a crime scene.
Correct. It was just coming into vogue at about that time. And Barry Scheck has been involved with a lot of DNA cases. The three that I had with him involved situations where the DNA was sought and then analyzed and used to compare it to a piece of clothing or something, usually in rape cases, to determine whether or not the person who was convicted of that rape was actually guilty of the crime. And we did one in St. Louis that it turned out that after the guy spent, 15, 17 years in the penitentiary, turns out that he was not guilty. But Barry Scheck in the O.J. Simpson case was probably, I mean, you had a dream team. You had Johnny Cochran and you had Kardashian, you had Bailey, those people. But I think the single most important situation in that probably turned the case, in addition to having Darden, the prosecutor, have O.J. Simpson try on a glove that he didn't know whether or not it would fit or it wouldn't fit in front of the jury. But in addition to that, it was really Barry Scheck's cross-examination of the DNA expert that they put on the witness stand, because at the time, the glove that they had found at the murder scene had blood on it with genetic markers relating to Simpson, Nicole Brown Simpson, and Ron Goldman. And so the prosecution was pinning its case on that DNA. Look, you know, here is irrefutable evidence. This is DNA that ties O.J. Simpson to the scene of this particular crime through this glove. And I suspect that that's why Chris Darden, during the course of the trial, made the huge mistake of having Simpson in front of that jury try that glove on.
That's the biggest mistake I've ever seen made by a trial attorney. I've not tried nearly the cases you have, but given the fact that the man, his hands were already enormous, they were blown up like balloons from arthritis. Anyone knows that if leather gets wet, whether it's from water or from blood or whatever, it's going to shrink. What a dumb thing to do.
Yeah, and you know, remember, all of this came on the heels of the Rodney King beating in L.A., and it also came on the heels of the four police officers who were criminally accused of beating Rodney King, were acquitted in Los Angeles. And so Gil Garcetti, who was the elected prosecutor at the time, he decided, and probably for reasons of the King case and the fact that O.J. Simpson is black, he decided to try the case in downtown L.A. as opposed to another venue in the Los Angeles area, which probably would have been less sympathetic to O.J. Simpson on a black-white sort of issue. And so what the defense then was allowed to do was they were allowed to make this a black-white situation, try the Los Angeles Police Department, and in particular, try, if you recall the name, Mark Furman. Mark Furman was the lead investigator on the O.J. Simpson case, and they turned this around to suggest that Mark Furman, they had evidence, and I believe Mark Furman ultimately admitted during cross-examination that he would repeatedly use the N-word. So the theme that was portrayed by the defense was that this was a fix, and O.J. Simpson was targeted. He was targeted because of the color of his skin, and therefore he was not guilty of killing either Goldman or Nicole Brown Simpson.
Yeah, it was a real moment in time for American jurisprudence where a big time trial that everyone watched saw the prosecution stumble, saw the defense put on a brilliant case, and a guilty man went free, and we all lived with it. But that's the way that the system works. Chet, thank you, man. We appreciate it.
You bet.
337 DTS on KMOX. Dave Murray. Is Dave with us today or no?
He's not.
Okay, so my phone is. So
the anti-Dave Murray forecast.
Today and tomorrow is going to be windy, as you can tell by being alive and human, and highs around 68. Then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are hot as balls. It's at like 85, 86.
Ooh.
So it's about, get the old air conditioners checked.
All right.
I'm not ready for this yet.
I'm not either.
80s.
I'm going to be out there in it.
I'm ready. I mean, I'm not going to be out there in it.
Well, like, you're hill people.
Yeah, hill people are used to this stuff, right?
Well, I'm the kind of hill person. I'm more of a
whale.
Yeah,
you went right into it.
The ancestors are hill people. I'm really more of a cave person.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I need the air conditioning. I need cool, damp. You know what I mean? I prefer, I was under the hill.
Where are you from? I know originally you have your own town, like in what, Germany or Austria or something like that?
So, yeah, way back, Dad's side has our own town with a castle and everything.
Yeah.
It was in Germany, and post some unpleasantries, it's now in Poland.
Yeah.
which my grandfather used to get made fun of at the steel mill because, you know, it turned out he was Polish, maybe, kind of, you know, and Polish jokes used to be.
Yeah.
I don't really get it, but they used to be the hottest.
They were a big deal.
For a long time, they were a big deal.
In the world.
Yeah. And no one could ever tell me. Like, I even remember asking, like, so I get the joke.
Right.
I get that it takes a whole lot of Polish people to screw in a light bulb. But why is that? Why are they so dumb? And grown-ups would be like, oh, I don't know. It's like, if you don't even know why they're dumb, then are you even sure that they are?
They're like, look, if you don't get it, we can't help you.
That's actually like a great way to defeat racism is just asking people to explain themselves.
Yeah, like, why do you think that?
But see, like, I was so young, I believed it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
why wouldn't you?
Point to a tree and tell me it's a dog. It's like, okay, it's a dog.
You hear it enough times,
enough times how much Polish people struggle, you just accept it. But as a caring person, you want to know what is it? Do they all get kicked in the head by a mule when they're little? Like, what is it? And then when they don't have an answer, you're like, oh, you're just completely making that stuff up. Okay. It could be anybody.
Oh, you're just discriminating. Okay.
I got it.
Yeah, everybody has, I mean, like, every group of people has that thing. Like, in France, that's how they treat people from Belgium. That's how they talk to them. They have their own Belgian jokes and all that stuff. And I think every place kind of has their own people that they pick on. I just don't get why the Polish jokes became a thing here.
Mm.
You think it's maybe because they came later the other settlers were already here?
Well, I mean, your people, my lord.
Oh, my God, Irish, we got destroyed.
Yeah.
People hated us.
Need not apply.
No, they hate. I mean, again, everybody that's new is the hated one.
There are still bars in Ireland that say no Glovers above the door of the pub.
Really?
Yeah. When my brother worked on offshore drilling rigs, many of them were owned by the Scots. And so we came from northern Scotland and we went into Ireland and just started screwing stuff up. And so they would put a big sign above the door that said no Glovers.
All right. So I think this is based in history because I just searched this and found an article that said that
this is going to be terrible.
The origin of the Polish joke was Nazi German propaganda.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
There you go.
And that simple.
And then eventually it was pushed by the Soviets.
Huh.
When they were trying to assert their influence
How
there.
How about that?
So apparently the Germans started it with the myth that Polish soldiers used horses to attack German tanks, which apparently did not happen, but that's a story that's been told. Mm-hmm. And it was told by the Germans to make the Polish seem like they were idiots and they were not, that they were...
That was the best I could come up with.
That it was okay.
Yeah, who's the dumb one?
Even the light bulb joke is better than
that. So that it was okay to dominate them because, well, they're less than us anyway, so what's the difference?
They seem to think that about a lot of people.
They definitely seem to think that about a lot of people,
And ironically, their reasons for it, beyond being racist and xenophobic, were so stupid. They were like Xenu on the mountain stupid. Like, so much of the Aryan stuff goes back to ancient people and UFOs and the Anunnaki and, like, come on.
Yeah, and then obviously from... After World War II, the communists, the Soviets picked that up on that because then they got to use it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I wonder if World War II was the true birth of propaganda. I mean, people have always lied to each other. People always talk smack behind each other's back. I'm sure that goes all the way back. But
when was I Want You, Uncle Sam? Well, was that World War II or was that one?
Yeah. I mean, it existed, I'm sure, because I'm sure there was propaganda in the American Revolution as an example. But it was more pamphlets and leaflets and mini newspapers and all those kind of like things that were passed around by hand. World War II might have been.
I thought he was going to say miniature newsmen. No. I was like, what?
But I mean, like,
how little were they?
Tiny men with papers.
When it comes to World War II,
hear me out.
That was the first time we had a lot of the technology that you wouldn't have had then. So it was mass spread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try following that up with headlines.
All right. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Get your groceries delivered or use curbside pickup with the Schnucks Rewards app. After Barbie's success, Margot Robbie sets her sights on making a movie about, would anyone like to take a guess?
Oh, boy.
Oh, I saw this.
Monopoly.
That ding, ding, ding.
Really?
Gets it. Yep. The Barbie producer and star is making a Monopoly movie.
That's a little on the nose for me.
I wonder if she's playing the Monopoly.
Are they the same company, Barbie and Monopoly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Hasbro. Mattel.
Any more detail on that one?
No, I just know that...
she can play the thimble?
Her and her production company, Lucky Chap, were the ones who got Barbie to the finish line.
But Why am I so mad?
Because it's stupid. That's why you're mad.
I mean, like, it couldn't affect my life less. Yeah. My mom's in the hospital with a broken hip. I'm like, Monopoly! But you think this will be the new Marvel universe where it's just going to be
the
like...
Oh, no, the game thing is blowing
Clue
up.
Or,
games, yep. The game thing is blowing up. They said that's going to be one of the next big intellectual properties.
There was already
properties.
A really good Clue movie.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
No, that's
Leslie
definitely
Ann Warren.
I forget where I saw it, but there I saw a listing of all of the games that are being they're like in pre-production.
Man.
Dozens and dozens and dozens.
Jeez.
The TSA finds more than 1,500 firearms at airport security in just the first quarter of 2024. You got to wonder, like,
yeah.
Do these people just think they're going to get away with it? Do they genuinely not know that they're not supposed to bring their gun on a plane? Interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do they think it's just not going to get caught?
Right.
Like, those x-ray things don't work. It's just all a show.
I know they catch other people's guns, but not mine. My gun is special.
I told you about when Phoebe got caught with scissors at Dulles Airport, and I thought we're both going to the Hooskow.
But those are scissors.
And the guy was like, okay, and these were scissors. These weren't like the kind
like the
kindergartners. They were full-on scissors.
Okay, okay.
And the guy was like, okay, you just made it under the... I'm like, what do you... she's my daughter, and I don't want to fly in a plane with her having those.
Costco is selling a surprising amount of gold. An analyst estimates that up to $200 million per month of gold bars are being sold at Costco. This is kind of crazy. The bars of 24-karat gold are believed to sell at about 2% over spot prices, meaning they cost about $2,400 at the moment.
Mm.
People are getting scared of buying gold from Costco.
Why do they have all that gold?
Well, they find a way. If they get a deal on something, they're going to find a way to. No, that's what they do. They get a deal on something and they find a way to sell it to make a little money. What's interesting is, like, well, one, I think it would be kind of cool to have a bar of gold, wouldn't it? Like, just be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Not for $2,400.
One thing I did that was smart was pretty much every year for Christmas, I would put a 1 ounce gold coin in the kids' stockings.
Oh, that's cool.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, those values have gone up a lot. Like, just my stupid, you know, my just look at this. This is my wedding ring is nothing special, right? It's a small little gold band. It has like multiplied by 7 or 8 times since we bought it in
value.
Wait,
you're looking to sell it?
Yeah.
I didn't even look that up.
Take it to
the
pawn shop.
Maybe I need to learn.
Maybe you need to have a conversation with Susan when you get home.
No, I think we did it for insurance, honestly, for all of our jewelry.
Andrew, before thinking about it, real quick, would you rather have one gold bar or a roast chicken every day for the rest of your life from Costco?
Oh, chicken. Yeah. Because gold bar, what are you
going to
do?
Maybe think about it a little longer than that.
What are you going to do with the gold bar? I mean, you're just going to sit it, and it's...
Well, sell it for $2,400, first of all.
I'm going to get way more chickens.
No, so, I'm not saying it's a bad decision.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the chickens.
Questioning the value of investing in precious metals, because I know it's a thing, right? But if you have gold bars, let's say the economy completely collapses.
Yep.
Who's taking your gold bars for anything?
And you're, trading them for gasoline?
Well,
or...
this is what I'm saying. Like, what can they do with them?
Trade them for other things. I mean, I think it's back to a barter system.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But in that setting.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of how it was when it
first
started.
Wouldn't food have a greater value than gold?
Wouldn't chicken have a greater value?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. One more story and then we'll take a break here. Japan is gifting Washington, D.C. with 250 new cherry trees.
Cool.
They will replace the hundreds of other cherry trees currently being removed due to construction on the seawall around the tidal basin. So that's pretty cool. They announced that gift yesterday.
Yeah, that's really cool. And isn't China giving us a few pandas, too?
I think I did read that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Guess relationship's pretty good, then. What are we giving them?
What are we giving Japan? Or
we send them,
China?
Otters or something?
I don't know. I don't know what they need.
Do they have otters in China?
Golden retrievers?
No, we can't send them dogs.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I'm serious. They farm and eat dogs in parts of the country.
Oh, my God. Hit the music.
Okay. I'll just get us out of here.
It's a major thing.